share with us about her ministry. You want to come on up, Jessica? Let me just introduce you a little bit while you're coming up. Karen and I have known Jessica for almost, I guess, as long as we've been up here, really. And are you going to use this or you want a microphone?
Sure. I can stand right here.
Okay. And we're very familiar with her story, but you guys aren't. And she has a powerful story to tell about the redeeming nature of what God can do in a life and the destruction that Satan can do in a life.
Let us pray first, and then we'll get started. Father God, I just come to you, and Father, I just turn this service over to you. Father, I pray that as I tell my story, there would be no glorified to the enemy, but Father, only glorified in you. Father, I pray you would just open hearts, let us be receptive. Father, let the words that come out of my mouth only glorify you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I am Jessica Williams. And the name of my ministry is Never Too Scarred. And the reason you're never too scarred is because two scarred hands and two scarred feet paid the price for you and me. Growing up, I had a great childhood. My daddy is a pastor. But when I was younger, we're from Monroe, North Carolina. And when I was in the sixth grade was when my daddy got called into the ministry. So growing up, you know, I had a great childhood, was at grandma's every afternoon, you know, played sports. And my sixth grade year at Christmas, my life got turned upside down. Mom and Dad set us kids down and told us that we would be moving to Hendersonville, North Carolina, so Daddy could attend Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute. At first, I was so excited, but then I became very nervous and scared. So once we had moved, this was the middle of my sixth grade year, I become very aware that I no longer fit in. And by my seventh grade year, I didn't fit in with these kids anymore. You know, I had grew up playing basketball and baseball or softball with the same group of kids. And now I no longer had that same group of kids to play with and just felt very rejected, I guess would be the word. And, well, I found a group of kids that I did fit in with. Remind you that we are at Bible, my daddy is at Bible College, and I start smoking pot in the seventh grade with some girls on the weekend. This was just on and off thing. So that was my first experience with drugs. But I was also attending church, doing the youth group thing, living a double life. Mom and Dad had no clue, and it was something that made me feel like I was part of a group again. After that, my eighth grade year, we moved up here, and Daddy was the pastor at Lily Branch Baptist Church. Things when we first got up here were good. I seemed to fit in with the clique a whole lot faster. And things were good. My freshman year, sophomore year, I was playing softball, partying some on the weekends, but not really. But then by my senior year, I was a full-blown addict. I had started experimenting. I had started drinking, smoking pot, taking pain pills. And by the time I graduated, like I said, my senior graduation, it was probably about 3 weeks after that, I experienced methamphetamines. So from the age of 18 till the age of about 21, I did meth. And then I quit doing street drugs because I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And the rheumatologist had sent me to the pain clinic. So at this point, the rheumatologist puts me on pain pills. And so, you know, I had given up the street drugs, and now I'm taking pain pills because the RA is so bad, and I'm having to take, you know, multiple medicines, and I start taking the pain medicine, and I'm like, well, this is okay. It's prescribed by the doctor. It's fine. Well, I can remember calling Mom. At this time, I'm married. I can remember calling Mom and saying, you know, there's something wrong. I cannot even get out of the bed unless I have this pill. And that was my first experience of actual withdrawals. The pain pills become where they weren't enough. So what does the pain clinic do? They up the pain medicine. So they take me from a regular hydrocodone and they start putting me on pain medicine that cancer patients take. And after, I'm probably about 24 when all this is going on. And then I have my child, Jaden, and then I have Jet a year or 13 months later. Once they put me on this stronger pain medicine, my life started spiraling. Everything was out of control. The pain medicine wasn't enough. Me and their father were fighting. You know, there was a lot of drug abuse on both sides, alcohol, and the main thing, there was no God in this relationship. So in 2013, I left home. My kids were with my parents, and my life spiraled. In that time, I was doing anything I could get my hands on, from methamphetamine to ecstasy to heroin. Actually, I didn't do heroin. That's a lie. Methamphetamines, cocaine, crank, ecstasy, pot, whatever I could get my hands on. Xanaxes, you name it, I did it. And that happened for about 2.5 years until I surrendered. And I was going to show y'all a video, but I don't think it's going to work. So, at this point, I've left a little bit out. Let me just tell you. At this point, I had lost my kids. I had lost my house, my rental house, my vehicle, my marriage. And I was living by choice, because I couldn't be at Mom and Dad's. I was living by choice in the woods in a truck. I got arrested. I had 46 felony charges that I was facing. And that was in 2015. And I went to court. They put me on house arrest. I was sober for 120 days. As soon as I got my ankle bracelet off, I went running again. But during those 120 days is when God really started intervening and working in my life. He used very many people to, throughout my addiction, even when I was in my deepest addiction, he was always sending people my way. But in 2000, well, let me read, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And at this point in July of 2015, I met this lady named Linda Pittman. We were at Mom and Daddy's church picnic, and she looked at me and she said, girl, you better get your mess together. And normally, if somebody would have told me that, I would have been like, who are you? And God used this woman to help me find freedom. For the next several months, Linda would come and be in and out of my life, telling me my self-worth and who I was in Christ and you know, who my true father was and where to find true love. So at this point I had started going to church, here and there, and Linda Pittman's brother, I'm going to add this in, I don't have this actually in my testimony because I just want y'all to see how God works. The guy I was running with, his grandmother used to tell me every day, once a week, something, if Rocky Branch can change, you and, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, God can do anything. And so for 2.5 years, this lady would tell me that. Well, Linda Pittman was the lady who I told you I met up with. And she had been on me about going to church. So I started going to church, some at Dad's church. And then she said, you need to go hear my brother speak. And I was like, well, okay, I'll go sometime. So I put her off for 6 months. So in January of 2016, it was the last Sunday, I decided that I was going to go with Linda to hear her brother speak. So we walk in the church at First Baptist, and she said, this is my brother, Rocky Branch. So for 2 years, I've heard about Rocky Branch and his story. Now I'm introduced to Rocky Branch. And I am also at this time, I'm trying to get a whole lot in. I'm getting too fast, ain't I, Mama? My mama's looking at me. At this time, I had started going to Bible study too. Linda had me in Bible study, which is War Room. And these are things that need to be mentioned so that it all clicks together. I was going to War Room Bible study. I think we were only in the second one. So I go to church on that Sunday. And, you know, my dad's excited. I've started going back to church. I've been attending a Bible study. And on February the 7th, 2016, was Super Bowl Sunday. And it was when the Carolina Panthers were in the Super Bowl. I don't know who they were playing, but they were in the Super Bowl. And First Baptist was having a Super Bowl Sunday, and everybody was wearing Panther attire. And my daddy had went and bought me a shirt. And he was so proud for me to be able to wear that shirt because I was going to church. Well, that Sunday, I didn't make it to church. I was on my way down the driveway, and my dope dealer lived kind of in behind the house, but I met him in the front driveway. And I went and got high, and I was so tired because I had been trying to fight this battle on my own. I was like, I can do this, I can do this. And I was just so tired and so worn down. And normally if I would have went and messed up, I would went to my friends. But this day I was just, I knew that my kids were going to be disappointed in me because at this point they didn't know if Mom was going to come home, you know, when she left. And I knew Mom and Dad would be disappointed at me. So I get in my car and I'm driving to Rome Mountain. And on the way to Rome Mountain, you know, I'm warring back and forth in my head with the enemy and with God. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm just going to drive off Rome Mountain. My whole intentions the whole way up there. And this is in February. So my whole intentions all the way up there, I'm driving just as fast as I can and just as hard as I can. And these memories are just flashing out. You know, every lie the enemy can tell me. You're not worthy. You know, they don't want you around anymore. You're a failure. You know, people reject you. You'll never fit in. So I'm just warring back and forth in my head. And I get to the top of Rome Mountain, and it's slam-packed full of people. And the spot where I was going to run off over was cars everywhere. So when I turn around, and I'm coming back down that mountain, I pulled off. Coming back down, I pulled off in that first pull-off. And I looked at, there was a War Room book in my passenger seat. I can't tell you what I looked at or what I seen. But I opened my arms and I cried out to God. I said, God, if you're real, if you're really real, you're going to have to take this addiction from me. And if you can't take this addiction from me, you're going to have to take me, God. But I said, God, if you can take this addiction, I'll do whatever you call me to do. And from February 7th, 2016, I have been freed from addiction. You know, that's something that I had tried for years to give up. And I don't know if anybody's out here who has somebody who's in addiction or knows somebody in addiction. But they need encouraging. And they need Christ because they can't do it in their own strength. I tried for 17 years, and I've been from every rehab from here to California. And it was only the simple power of God who freed me. So with that being said, this ministry that I'm going to talk about is a vision that God gave me. The first time I got the vision, it was in October 19th in 2016. And then he gave me the layout plan in August 25th of 2019. And then I was able to share my vision August 30th of 2020. I'm on a board, it's called Mitchell County Recovering Ministries. And it's also, I do Celebrate Recovery at Bear Creek. I do the women's ministry there. But that we originally had started the board for Celebrate Recovery. And one Sunday night, we had gotten out of, we was in church and we'd gotten out of church. And one of my girls had sat on the steps. Couldn't come in the church doors, but she knew that was where her safe place was. And she'd come and she'd sat on the steps and had waited on me to get out of church because she was ready to go and she needed help. And I sat there and I talked to her, and I had nowhere to send her that night. I had nowhere to take her. I had nowhere to get her in because all the women rehabs, faith-based women rehabs, are 6 months to a year out. And so I prayed with her, and I had to just send her on her way because I had nowhere to send her. Well, with that being said, we had a meeting. That was on Sunday night. And we had a meeting that following Monday with Mitchell County Recovering Ministries. And Doug Harold had asked, well, Pastor Bruce had asked me to get my visions together of what I thought we needed to do about Celebrate Recovery. And then I shared the story with them about what had happened the night before. And Doug Harold looked at me and he said, well, what are we going to do about this? And that's when I pulled out my phone, because God had actually woke me up when I got the layout plan at 2 o'clock in the morning and gave me the layout about how we would minister to these women. And I don't know if any of y'all have looked at the brochure or not, but our vision is to have a women's 90-day rehab program, and it'll be in-house. And if they have kids and if they don't have placement for their kids, the Baptist Children Home have agreed to partner up with us and take these kids for 90 days while mom works on herself. And then after the 90 days, our vision is to have housing for mother and child to get back on their feet, and they can live there for up to a year. So what these ladies will be working on will be learning their true self-worth and who it is in Christ alone. They will be learning who love is, how to love and express love in a healthy way, teaching women how to have and make healthy relationships. This was one of the hardest things for me to do when I come home. I didn't trust anybody, because when you're out in the world and you're living for the devil, you're always looking over your back, because it's every man for themselves. You don't have a true friend. You don't have a true companion, because everybody's out to get what they want. They'll do whatever to get their next high, to get their next whatever. And so you've been through, you know, God released me from drugs. But you know what? I didn't do all the damage that had been allowed to be done to me in a moment. So I've had to work through all the mental, all the physical abuse that I allowed myself to go through. So these girls, you know, they need to learn how to make healthy boundaries and healthy relationships and how to express themselves in a healthy way. We'll be teaching these women how to take care of themselves. I know several girls who don't shower, don't think about cleanliness and hygiene, how to cook a healthy meal other than using a microwave. I had a girl a couple of weeks ago that didn't even know how to boil water. I mean, you know, people think that's crazy, but I have Christian counselors who are lined up who are going to come in and work with these girls. Right now I have three who are going to volunteer, and I have one anger management guy who's going to come in and volunteer. They will also be able to get their GED. And then I have a lady who's going to come in and do basic life and social skills with them. And once they complete the program, they will have a certificate, and then they will do an internship where they can start earning money. And, of course, we'll also be attending Celebrate Recovery. One of the main scriptures y'all read today was Psalms 40, 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, out of the mire, and set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. You know, when I come out, and I say come out, of addiction, having that firm place to stand and having... I had a group of ladies who surrounded me. There was five, I know for sure, who called and checked on me every day. These ladies are going to need, you know, mentors. They're going to need just love. They just need somebody to love on them. And it's so hard for them to believe that somebody really loves and cares for them. And another one is that these ladies need to know that they are a chosen child of the King. And Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. I took you from the ends of the earth, from the furthest corner. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And to me, that's what God does to me on a daily basis. Since this program's been going, I'll just be honest with y'all. I have warred back and forth with the enemy because he wants to keep telling me those same lies. That I'm not worthy. That I'm not enough. And that I can't do this. And you know what? He's right. I can't, but he can. And so, you know, it's just teaching these ladies that there is a God who loves them. And no matter what you've done, he's there with open arms to just love on you and just to hold you in those moments when you can't go. He'll carry you through. I'm done. Okay.
Anybody else has a question you can ask? Too.
Yes.
First question is, you said when you were coming off the, am I on, Chad? Okay. When you were coming from Roan Mountain, you took the first exit. And you stopped. God, you either take this addiction away or take me out. One of the two. And he took the addiction away. My question is, was that an instantaneous deliverance from your drug addiction at that point in time?
It was.
It was.
Yeah. I can't explain it.
You don't have to explain it. But from that point on, have you had a temptation to return to drugs in any way?
No.
Totally.
Totally
delivered.
Gone. Totally delivered.
Isn't that amazing? Now.
Now, I will say this, though, Kurt. You know, I've been totally freed, and I don't have that temptation to go back. But God does not let me forget where he brought me from. I still have, I can go down to Marion, and from the top of the mountain all the way to the bottom, all the way to Hickory. You know, God reminds me where I was, where he saved me from, out of the woods, out of,
right.
You know, so yeah.
Okay, but you had a total deliverance from the drugs, but yet you haven't had a total deliverance from the feelings of guilt, shame. You still struggle with that. You still struggle with self-worth, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
That's true.
Why do you think God completely delivered you from the drugs, but yet you still struggle with, let's just say, self-confidence and self-worth? Have you ever thought about that?
I think it's been a process of me working through. I don't know why I struggle with it. You know, I work with these girls every week, and I tell them their self-worth, and I tell them what God says. And I know my God's word is true, and I believe it. But there's still times that the enemy just comes by and just wants to... I think it's a way of trying to beat me down and have me running, not glorifying his name and just right. walking away, giving in.
I believe, listening to you, talking about those two different kind of deliverance issues, one is just the drugs, one is everything else. I think that perhaps, and maybe you've never thought about this, but one of the reasons that you still struggle with that feeling is partially because God wants to increase your faith. He wants you to live by faith.
Right.
If you had total deliverance of everything, you may not develop the faith that you have developed
right.
in the last 3 years.
Right.
That's one thing. The second thing, reason is, I think, it allows you to identify with the girls.
Great.
Because you're still going through the things that they're going through right now. If you had been completely delivered from everything, you may not be able to identify with them. As time goes on, you forget. But God's allowing you to remember because of the girls that you're dealing with are living it right here and now.
Right.
So I just want to encourage you to let you know that it's okay to still feel like I don't have it all together. I'm at times I don't feel worthy or whatever, because I think God is actually using that to help these other girls. So I thought of that and I wanted to just mention that to you. Now, let's change subjects.
Okay.
Second subject is your ministry itself. You mentioned the different things that you were going to do that the ministry was going to do for the girls, and goals and education and all that kind of stuff. Is all this stuff that you feel like God has given you? Were these things that when you would wake up at night and you would write them down? Is that the kind of things you were writing down?
God gave me each of these that I just listed off that night at 2:00 in the morning. I typed them in on my phone because it was the closest thing to me, and I didn't want to get up and get a pencil and paper.
On your brochure here. Okay, so we're going to have some of these brochures. She's talking about the list of things below Jesus on the cross. This is what God gave you at night.
Right.
You woke up, you wrote them down, and now they're on this brochure.
Right. And I was like, God, I can't do this. I'm not qualified for any of this. You know, I'm Christian counseling. I'm not there, you know, and I didn't have any clue, you know, and I didn't want to step out. After he gave me this stuff, I was like, are you sure? And he kept, you know, reassuring me, keep going. I mean, my mom would even say, now, Jessica, what are you going to do about that ministry you said God called you to do? And I'm going to tell y'all, once I stepped out and shared this with Mitchell County Recovery Ministry Board, everything that is on this that I'm offering, God has sent a licensed person, somebody who has been doing it for many years, who has come in and said, okay, I'm there for you and I will do this. We can do this. You know, each part has been, I've got the three Christian counselors, the lady who's going to come in and do social and life skills. I've got a nutritionist that's willing to come in. I've got, you know, just every part of it, God has sent me each person.
Okay. Where are you at now in the development of the ministry?
We are currently looking for property and a house.
Okay. So you've got everything other than those two things.
We do. We have a house that we have been looking at, but it's not 100%. So one thing that is good that is if we can just find a shell of a house. I've got a group of men who are willing to come in and redo it from the ground up, which would be free labor. Only thing we would actually have to pay for would be the material, which material is outrageous right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, free labor, and that would be from the plumbing, electrician, sheetrock, all of that. They could come in and do that. So,
okay. So one of the things we can do as a group here, Walnut Grove, to help you is to open our eyes and our ears. If you hear of a piece of property that might be suitable for this, doesn't really matter too much about the condition because you have people who can work on
Correct.
It and get it.
And one thing we are wanting, though, is maybe just a little bit secluded.
Okay.
Just for the girls'
safety.
Safety. And one of the properties that we're looking at that's the hold up right now is because it is so close to the road. And plus, you know, God's going to open the right door. But, yeah, seclusion is one of the...
Okay. So let's be looking. If you hear of something, grab one of these. Do we have brochures here?
Yeah, and I brought some
okay.
also.
Take one with you so you have a contact information, or you can contact Karen. Karen and Jessica, good friends. And her mother, Beverly's here, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Sue. Raise your hand up so people know where you're sitting. Okay. And both her children, Jaden and Jet, are here. Raise your hands, guys. Okay. So say hello to them before you leave. And her niece.
Miss Michaela.
Michaela? I never heard her name. Okay, Michaela, the niece, is here too. So let's just be on the lookout. God may use one of us here to find the exact building to continue on the vision that he's given Jessica. So keep your eyes and ears open. Now, what else do you need?
The main thing we need too is prayers. Everybody can pray, so if you would just pray not only for me and the program, but pray for the girls who will be entering this program for their hearts. And on the back of the brochures, and Mom has envelopes also, if you want to make a donation, all the money will be going into an account. I don't touch the money. I have an accountant, and I have a board who is over all the money. So the address is on the back of the brochure, and then Mom also has envelopes that have the address on
okay,
them.
Okay, I see it's a nonprofit organization.
Correct.
501c3, which means it's tax deductible.
Correct.
Yes. It also means it's managed by people who
right.
take good care of it. So that's what we've got. Now, our church is going to give you a little love gift today. Anybody individually who wants to can do that. If you want to make a check out to Never Too Scarred.
Correct. Well,
make it out to
Mitchell County Recovery Ministries,
okay.
and then put Never Too Scarred in the note, okay. because we have an account for Celebrate Recovery and
right.
for.
But it's exciting to see God, number one, change your life.
Yeah.
And number two, say, hey, I've got a use for you, because there's a lot of girls out there who are going through what you went through, and they need the help. They need you to be my hands and my feet, and that's what he's doing. And it's exciting to be a part of that. We're glad to have you here today. Does anybody have a question that you might want to throw out here to Jessica here? You got an opportunity to do it. Just wanted to open the door here. Yes, Virginia.
I heard all the people that are coming to help you, but something that went through my mind is if you need regular prayer warriors because you're going through spiritual battles yourself in your mind all the time, and you can have all the experts in the world with the certificates, but from my perspective, you have to have prayer warriors that are faithful and praying for your ministry all the time. I mean, I can already see God's hands on it, and he's opening the doors and bringing you the people, but prayer warriors are so important.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, and just for purposes of people who are listening, who aren't here right now, Virginia said you need a prayer team, prayer warriors to support you, hold you up. Lift up your hands, as Moses had his hands lifted up during battle. So that's a good thought. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we finished on time. You did good.
Yay. Yeah. My daddy's a preacher. I know you have to be out of here by 12.
So Bud, why don't you come up and lead us in our closing song, and thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.